And automakers are certainly dealing with the downside of credit, and they are certainly in the midst of trying to implement the bailout plan that has now been handed to them from the Treasury Department. But the blow taken by the U.S. car industry is particularly hitting African-American workers hard. Not long ago, African-Americans found more closed doors than work, but Ford, for example, was one company that gave them a job and a road to the middle class. Mary Chapman, who's a contributor to the New York Times, has been following the story, and she joins us from Detroit. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
I'm struck by the numbers in your reporting. In manufacturing, 13.9% decline for African-American workers, but only a 4.4% decline for white workers. Explain what's happening.
Well, yes. I mean, so those numbers show that African-Americans are almost three times as affected by this automotive downturn as any other group. And the scope is vast and far-reaching. We're talking about a huge chunk of America's black middle class here. And all blacks made up 14.2% of the total automotive workforce last year. And that compares with 11.2% of the overall American workforce.
Well, let's describe the relationship here. We could really go back to the 40s when Ford was one of the few manufacturing companies, if not the only one then, who would actually employ African Americans.
Exactly. I mean, hundreds of thousands of African Americans left sharecropping jobs and other occupations of that nature for the promise of $5 a day, as proposed by Henry Ford. And they just couldn't make that money anywhere else, and that still holds true today for less educated African Americans.
Which is really an extraordinary thought if you think about it. We're talking about 60 years ago, but yet still in these manufacturing jobs, we're not just talking about the salary, but also the kinds of benefits it offers, right? The car manufacturers and their related companies offer.
Yes. You're looking at Nelson White. I interviewed him for our story as an example of a sort of white-collar success story. This is a guy who started out on the production line, and he went to school via a tuition plan paid by Ford Motor Company. He is now a salaried executive. He is about to receive a master's degree. He has bought a home, and he has benefited from the company and greatly. And he's afraid that his peers won't have that same opportunity.
You know, one of the sad things about reading your story, Mary, is that in some ways we are seeing the epitaph of that feature of the U.S. economy where you could get a job without, you know, a PhD and raise a family and afford a home and basically have a life that would support an entire family. That is almost no longer possible. And so these are some of the last jobs where it was.
Well, listen, as I say, 21.9% of black workers in the nation's overall workforce have college degrees. That compares with 33.7% of whites in the entire labor force. So to put it bluntly, some of these African Americans will not be able to make this kind of money anywhere else.
And so what does that do to the community as a whole when you talk about the numbers who have moved into the middle class in the last several decades? Does it decimate those numbers?
I'm sorry?
Does it decimate those numbers of African Americans in the middle class?
Well, I mean, look, you're talking about, if you look at the supplier with whom I spoke in my story, this guy has 60% of his employees are black. So it's not so the tentacles are incredibly far-reaching. It's going to be devastating to a city like Detroit, which is 80% black in the first place. But these are the African-Americans who bought the rental homes, who bought the second cars, who opened the bars and the restaurants. I mean, it's the devastation is already being felt around here.
Is there any shining light here at all?
Well, with the possible dealer loans coming through, that could possibly help a bit with some of the dealerships and as well as the suppliers. But dealers and suppliers, as I say, are at a disadvantage to begin with, because 95% of dealers, as I say in my story, are first-generation owners. So they don't have
the kind of relationships that would sustain them.
Exactly.
Mary Chapman, many thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.
Mary Chapman is a contributor to our partners at the New York Times, and she was coming to us from Detroit, Michigan, talking about the auto industry and the effect of the downturn on African-American workers.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.